Hey there! Welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, I share ideas and strategies. I share frameworks and big questions that we can ask. I tell stories about things that work, but also those big epic fails that I've made along the way. I interview experts, and all because I truly believe that teachers play a profound role in helping students reach their creative potential. And one of the things that I've really thought about lately for really the last few years is, what does it mean to be a creative teacher in a changing world? And that's what we got into in our last podcast episode, where I talked about the big questions to ask before integrating AI into your classroom. It's something that I delved into in the book, The AI Roadmap. And it's something that we're going to cover in the next two episodes of The Creative Classroom, is this big question of how is AI transforming the teaching profession? And the truth is, we don't know completely. Nobody has the answer. But my goal is to spark a dialogue. And so today's going to be all about the big trends to consider. And then next week, we're going to talk about what does this look like for things like assessment, teaching, personalized learning, all of the differentiated instruction, all of these different domains of being a teacher. So without further ado, here are the four trends that we need to consider. So yesterday, our department had this discussion about machine learning and teacher preparation. And at one point, a colleague of mine, we'll call her Amy since that's her name, said our course goals and common assessments focus on teaching teachers how to design lesson plans and assessments. But when I talk to teacher candidates, they're not doing in-depth lesson planning right now. In many cases, they're not doing lesson planning at all. They're using teachers pay teachers or an adopted curriculum, or most of the time, what I'm seeing is that they're making lessons with tools like Magic School. By the way, it's not a sponsor or anything. I want to be clear. There are a lot of great AI tools. Now, this led to a really deep conversation about what we need to do in the future, how we need to adapt to generative AI, and not just in the future, but right now, within the courses that we teach. In this immediate future, this involves using a common assessment that asks teachers to design a lesson plan, but also how to analyze pre-existing lessons and modify them based on our contextual and personal knowledge. So, you know, what do you know about your classroom? What do you know about your students? In the long run, though, we're asking a bigger question. How is generative AI changing the role of teachers? And we're asking some follow-up questions like, how is it changing the way that we learn? How do we adapt to that reality as a college program focused on teacher preparation? I work with an amazing group of innovative educators who are tackling these questions from a mindset of curiosity rather than fear. I'm excited about the work that we're doing and the conversations that we're having with district partners and pre-service teachers and existing teachers that we work with, but it also has me reflecting on the big questions that I think we need to be asking, and then some of the trends that I see. So that's what I want to share right here. But before I get there, I want to make a quick point. As we think about the role of teachers, it is really important that we recognize a simple fact that AI is not going to replace teachers. And I share this because I have heard this all around. And this sentiment has been, it's been around for a long time. When I was a middle school student, and this was back in the 90s, mind you, this teacher of mine who I loved, he was a science teacher, he hands us a golden disc, or he actually holds up this giant golden disc, and he says, this is the future of education. Someday, you'll be able to pick up one of these discs, take it to a pod, put it on, play it on a TV, and get the exact instruction you need. You won't even need teachers. This will change learning forever. Now, it did not change learning forever. The truth is, nobody is using LaserDiscs. They are entirely outdated. Meanwhile, teachers continue to be relevant. We see that all the time. Ask anybody who was someone who had a profound influence on your life. And what I've seen is 9 times out of 10, someone's going to mention a teacher. That hasn't changed and that will not change. But I mention this because years later, I saw a similar argument emerge. And this time it was the rise of the internet and the search engine. Someday we won't need teachers. You'll just ask Jeeves and he'll answer all of your questions. Rest in peace, Jeeves. Later it was one-to-one devices. We just need computers, laptops with internet access, and kids will learn everything they need on their own. And then it was the promise of these leveled reading programs and adaptive learning programs. And now it's the promise of AI. For the last 2 years, I've watched as tech gurus in all kinds of different domains have promised a bold new future where we won't even need teachers. Students will sit in front of computers doing this tailored, individualized work at a computer in isolation, and it will modify on the fly using LLMs. Meanwhile, we'll do away with formal requirements for teacher licensure, and we'll hire contract workers. And all they'll have to do is pass a basic background check, and that'll be it. Now, this is supposed to be some kind of techno-futurist utopia, but to me, this feels like a really bleak, machine-driven dystopia. It strips learning of the human, of the tactile, of the authentic. And I've written before about why I don't think teachers will be replaced by AI, but I just want to make that clear from the get-go. And partly because in a world of AI, our students will need to become really good at what AI can't do and really different with what AI can do. And given that reality, we need humans in the room to help students develop those deeply human skills that they'll need in a world of AI. All right, but what does it look like? We're going to get into the four trends in a second. But I think before we get there, we need to address three driving questions as educators. So in competitive chess, AI will nearly always beat a human. But when you do chess via teams, the fully automated AI teams rarely win. Neither do the all-human teams. The winning teams are nearly always a combination of AI and human. If that's true in an isolated system like chess, how much more is that true in a world where the systems are changing constantly? What does it mean for us as educators to take a blended approach where we take the overlap of AI and human voice, but where we center it on the human experience while using the AI intentionally? Well, I think it starts with these three driving questions. Number one, what do we do better than machines? So there's a couple things that we do better. And the first one is context. AI struggles with contextual knowledge. It just doesn't know the context of your classroom. It doesn't know the context of your neighborhood. It's basically like a giant toddler who's only interacted with one person in a tiny box. That's what it's like. Meanwhile, you are a contextual expert. You read body language, you read relationships, you know your local context. And so for that reason, it's really important to recognize we are better at context. We're also better at divergent thinking. Because AI is built on probabilistic thinking, you get things that tend to be a little bit bland, a little bit derivative, a little less creative. Now, can AI generate amazingly creative solutions? Absolutely. But in the end, what we can do is think outside of the algorithm and think divergently. And so that's a second zone. Another area is curiosity. Look, AI is great at answering questions, and I'm sometimes blown away by the answers I get. But we need to recognize that AI doesn't necessarily engage in curiosity. AI simply cannot get curious. But humans, that is something we do well. We ask great questions. We wonder. We get curious. And for that reason, we need to recognize that curiosity is an innate human process. It's something that toddlers do all the time, and it's something we need to tap into as something humans do better than machines. We also do better with empathy. We're much better at reading a room. We're much better at knowing what students are going through. And for that reason, I think it's really important to recognize that we excel in empathy. So as we think about this blended approach, we're going to need to ask the question, what do we as humans do well, and how do we build on that? How do we center teaching on those elements of, you know, divergent thinking and empathy and curiosity and contextual knowledge? And then we can turn to the AI, right? Then we can ask, what do we want to automate? And there are some things that AI does really, really well. It does synthesis, it generates examples, role-playing, creating systems, predictive analytics, analyzing of problems, helping with conceptual development. All of those things are things that AI does really well. And so we can look at those things that AI does well, and we can say we might want to automate some of those tasks. We might want to turn to the AI for those tasks. But we also need to recognize that we don't want to fall victim of something called cognitive atrophy, which is a little bit like the way a muscle atrophies when you don't use it. We don't want to outsource aspects of teaching to a machine and then lose the ability to do those aspects of teaching. So I think it's really important to ask, what do we want to automate and what do we not want to lose along the way? All right, number three, the third question to ask is, what are the challenges and opportunities of machine learning? We need to be completely honest about AI and look at the pros and cons with a clear, open mind. And just, a candor or a bluntness. Like, we can now provide targeted instruction and instant feedback that is done in a way that was once completely inconceivable. I know I probably used it the wrong way. The Princess Bride made me scared to use the word inconceivable. But hopefully I did use it the right way. But the bottom line is, we can do it in ways that we could never have imagined in the past. But we also need to recognize the risk of using AI in making tasks so targeted and efficient that students don't experience something called productive struggle. We can now provide instruction at students' reading levels with more simplicity and clarity, but we also need to be cognizant of the role of confusion in deeper learning. You learn more when you experience some level of confusion. Students can use AI as a co-creation tool, but they can also slip into cognitive atrophy that I just described. They can use AI as a way to cheat, but they can use AI as a way to learn at a deeper level. So we need to recognize the pros and cons of this as we move forward. So given those ideas that I just shared, let's dive into the four trends that we might see in the teaching profession. Number one, educators will need to be curators. With AI, so many of the tasks will be automated, from lesson planning to assessments to things like classroom newsletters. We no longer need to do these same tasks from scratch. But this is why curation is so important. Curation is what happens when you look at the pros and cons of a piece of content and ultimately ask, what is best? Curators know how to organize the information in a way where you're almost being like a mashup artist. You're combining some of the best ideas all together. Curators are able to be critical thinkers without being mean, without being critics all the time. They learn how to be celebratory of what works, but also they don't fall victim to the latest fads in education. In other words, teachers will need to be both critical and curious. They'll need to be knowledgeable and wise. And so a key component, whether we're lesson planning, doing assessment, any of those zones, is going to be that teachers will engage in curation. All right, trend number two, educators will need to tap into empathy and relational knowledge. When ChatGPT first came out, I got really excited about how it could give me feedback. I had this video script about my Greyhound, which is my dog who just passed away. And I was super excited, and I showed it to my son, Micah, and he said, "Dad, that's awful feedback." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "The only correct feedback from a teacher should be, 'I'm sorry for your loss. Do you want to talk about it?'" He then said, "I don't write for machines, I write for people. And the best feedback I ever got was the piece that convinced me I was a writer. It was three words that Miss Rediger spoke that moved me. It wasn't practical or actionable or whatever you said good feedback should be, Dad, but those words, they stuck with me." Now, to me, this is a reminder that AI can provide targeted feedback, it can make amazing leveled readers, it can do all of those things, but it cannot empathize. And so I think it's really important to recognize that your relational knowledge, what you know about your students and who they are as people, is more vital than ever. So I think the second trend that we're gonna see is that educators will be tapping into empathy and relational knowledge. Number three, educators will need to contextualize the learning. Previously, I mentioned the role of context as an area where humans beat AI. And as educators, you're gonna have to take that AI-generated content and modify it based on your contextual knowledge. So if we take the example of word choice with something like a classroom newsletter, maybe it auto-generates as "Dear Parents," but what you know about your students is that there are some that live with aunts or uncles or siblings or grandparents. Some live in foster care. And the institutional term would be parents or guardians. And I found that that just doesn't feel good. It makes students feel like I don't have a parent or something. But you know what does capture the view of community as caregivers? The word "families." So what you do is you take that AI-generated content and you change the word to "families." And that is a small change that has a big impact based on what you know about your community and that context. Now, you might modify sentence stems in a Socratic seminar based on a recent conversation you had just had in class. You might change up one of the AI-generated texts to add something that you know your students will find engaging and interesting. Because ultimately, you know your students best. And then finally, the last area, the fourth trend, is that educators will need to be adaptable. Right now, there's this big push toward, I would say, traditional practices in education. I am seeing this all the time. People are like, you know, we need more direct instruction, and they create this straw man that makes PBL bad and direct instruction good, even though those of us who are proponents of PBL have been talking about why you integrate direct instruction and vocabulary practice and all these things into it on a regular basis. But what we see is, I think, this desire to go back to the good old days. And what we see is teachers experiencing change fatigue. Between the rise of social media and the fear of like, oh my gosh, we need to not have kids on devices, and that did a lot of bad. And some of that's warranted, by the way. To the changes due to COVID and then the rise of AI, a lot of teachers are saying, could we not have change right now? But at the same time, we also need to recognize that technology changes the way we learn. New tools ultimately transform the learning process. What does this mean then for us as we step into the future? Well, I think it means we have to be adaptable in a way that embraces the notion of vintage innovation. And you've probably heard me talk about this on the podcast before if you've listened to this. Vintage innovation is the overlap of the tried and true and the never tried. It's the overlap of the best practices and the next practices, and we need to embrace both. So what does it mean ultimately? It means that we as educators have to be adaptable. We can't wish away the current context. We can't put blinders on and pretend our world isn't changing. Instead, we need to be creative and innovative. And I want to end with this last thought. When I first learned about generative AI back in like 2015, I was overwhelmed. I talked to computer scientists and programmers and all these people that are a whole lot smarter than me. And I said, what is the future of education? And they would talk about AI. They would talk about machine learning. They would talk about all these tech things. But over time, I shifted from being scared and nervous to being cautiously optimistic. And I think it's this. We tend to underestimate the creative potential of teachers. As a society, collectively, we fail to grasp how innovative educators are on a regular basis. And so I want to end with this notion that the future of education is not found in a device. It can't be found in an app, and it's sure not going to be found in generative AI. The future of education ultimately will be found in your classroom, and it will be found in you. And so I want to end with this notion that it's important that we empower teachers to empower students. That's why teachers need to be key stakeholders in the conversations around AI integration. Next week, I'll be sharing some ideas about how it's going to redefine various aspects of teaching. But the truth is, you will be the one who redefines what your career looks like. Because ultimately, you are the expert in what you do. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever it is that you listen to this podcast? Maybe tell a friend about it as well. That would be great. And if you haven't done so yet, just click the little subscribe button. Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. And go out and make something awesome.